I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current.
There are things that everyone can do to protect their health, delay spread of COVID-19, and minimize the overall impact across our communities. Wash your hands well and often, cover your coughs and sneezes, and stay at home if you're sick to prevent the spread of illness.
That's advice from Canada's Chief Medical Health Officer, Dr. Theresa Tam. But for many Canadians, staying home might not feel like an option. With a lack of guaranteed sick leave and the rise of precarious work and the so-called gig economy, some people are afraid of losing income or even their jobs if they call in sick. Adam McGilvery is a contract sales worker in Vancouver. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
What is your employment situation? How does that work?
We're contracted to sell different products to businesses. So we're out talking to different businesses day to day to provide different services, from telecommunications to merchant services and so on.
And as a sales worker, how do you get paid, if you don't mind me asking?
We get a per diem, and then we're on commission.
And so what happens if you aren't feeling well and you need to take a sick day?
I can work from home to a degree where if I've already built a relationship with a customer and I'm able to sort of close the sale, I'd still get paid the commission, but I don't get the per diem if I'm not in the office at the beginning and end of the day and out in the field during the day.
And so what would that mean for you in terms of income? How much would your income go down?
Our per diem's pretty low to, you know, help stimulate us to get out and make sales. So yeah. It's $100 a day that we get. That, two or three days off in a week is, you know, $200-$300, and then the lack of interaction with people to generate new sales for commission. So it can cost upwards of, $500-$600 in a week.
So if you aren't feeling well, how do you run that calculation in your head about whether it's worth it financially for you to take the day off to try and get better, or whether you just kind of plow through it and still go into work?
For the most part, we try to plow through it. I've had this sort of lingering head cold, cough, everything for the past couple weeks, and decided that, with everything going on in the world right now, it was definitely affecting my interaction with customers, as people don't want to deal with someone that has a runny nose or cough right now.
Yeah.
That it, for long term, would be more beneficial for me to take a couple of days off and try to get completely better.
So you're going to do that now? You're going to take a couple of days off now to try and get back on the good side?
Yeah, I've taken most of the week off, including today, to try to get better and get back at it.
You were sick for a couple of weeks, you said, before you hit that threshold?
Yeah. I have a 4-year-old at home, so there's a lot of different germs that come through the daycare. And it's just been a consistent cough, runny nose. Haven't really had any kind of fever or anything, so wasn't too worried about it. As I'm mid-30s and in pretty good health.
But how much do finances, you talked about, how much you would lose in terms of not being paid if you take days off. How much do finances play a role in you making that decision?
They definitely play a fairly big role in the decision. At least I'm not a single income household. So my girlfriend's able to make a decent salary at her job. And then I usually do side construction jobs and that to augment my income as it is.
What goes through your mind when you hear, for example, the chief medical health officer in the context of the coronavirus spread saying, if you don't feel well, stay home to prevent the spread of illness?
I totally understand it. And that's kind of what's played into me taking the time off, is just trying not to spread anything, knowing that people with compromised immune systems are at a higher risk of contracting that and having more severe cases. It is something that would be nicer to be able to do on a regular basis, for sure, because, going in with my job, I'm talking to 50, 100 people in a day.
Yeah.
That those interactions every day of the week really add up with the amount of interactions that you have with people.
If this continues to spread, the coronavirus, are you worried that you might be having to make a decision about staying home more, even though you're not going to be getting paid?
It's definitely something that is in the back of my mind.
I hope you feel better. Rest up. Sorry for waking you up early, but it's important to hear from you. Get back to bed, and Adam, thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much, Ryan.
Adam McGovery is a contract worker in Vancouver, under the weather and taking a couple of days off sick. For a different perspective on sick days, let's hear from an employer. Walter Pranke is the Vice President of Human Resources for Lee Valley Tools. Walter, good morning to you.
Good morning, Matt.
Take a look at the situation that's happening right now. It's not just, you know, cold and flu season. You have the coronavirus that is spreading. How much of a challenge does this present to your business?
Well, it does in a number of ways, right? So from a business perspective, it's going to impact the way we can get things like supply chain services. How do we communicate with some of our manufacturers in, across the seas? From an employer perspective, employees' perspective, you know, employees are concerned as well. We have retail operations across Canada. And so they're saying, hey, I'm working with customers and that. How should we be doing it? We were very proactive. We looked at it even several weeks ago and started giving some direction, you know, from public health agencies, how we should take care of ourselves, what should we do, how do we prepare ourselves in the stores, and also practice really good hygiene situations, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we take care of ourselves?
At Lee Valley, mm-hmm. how does this work? Who gets sick days?
So for us, full-time employees are eligible for sick days, and they accrue that over the course of the year.
And they would get how many a year?
They would get 5 days a year.
5 days a year.
Yeah.
What about part-time staff?
Part-time wouldn't be eligible for that because just because of the way they have short-time hours, you know, a couple hours here, a week kind of thing.
And so how many, if you're working part-time, mm-hmm. how often are you working at Lee Valley?
Well, it varies. Generally, it's anywhere from one shift, 7.5, 8 hours, to maybe as much as 20 hours in the week.
And if you're working those part-time shifts and you, like we heard from Adam, you know, mm-hmm. you've been feeling unwell for a couple of weeks and you think, I need to take a day or more, they don't get paid?
They wouldn't get paid. So they would inform their manager, say, listen, I'm not feeling well today. I can't make my shift for the afternoon. And the manager says, okay, you know, stay home and let us know for tomorrow if they were scheduled.
As the public health officer says to mm-hmm. employers like yourself, people need to be cognizant of what's going on. And for employees, if they're feeling unwell, they need to take a day or two off work. What sort of conversations are happening in your workplace about how your policy fits or may need to change given what's going on with COVID-19?
Yeah, it's interesting to say that, Matt. You know, we've had lots of conversations with our senior team. You know, what are we going to do with the COVID-19, you know, virus coming up? We are looking at it from a very pragmatic approach, right? So right now in Canada, it's extremely low. You know, there's not that sort of outbreak coming happening in our particular cities. But if someone said, listen, I'm really feeling ill, this is the situation, you know, the first thing we would say is make sure you contact your public health authorities, let them know what it is. Don't go to the hospital because that's what they want us to do. But then they would start instructing them what they should be doing. If that person continues to be sick and they said, listen, you know, I may be having it, I'm going to have to go into self-isolation or quarantine, we'd certainly look at it and say, listen, okay, you know what? If Adam's our employee, we might say, Adam, you know what? We understand what the situation is. You're scheduled for X number of shifts this week. You know, we'll cover that cost and then we'll see what next week looks like because he may not be scheduled next week. So we would be very pragmatic and look at it. We look at it as we have to take care of our employees. Hmm. And that's, I think that's something that, you know, from a family ownership, this is something that's very important to the Lee family.
You understand the dilemma that those part-time employees would find themselves in, though, that if they can't, you know, come into work because they're not feeling well, but they also can't afford not to come into work because they're not going to be paid, it really puts them up against the wall.
It sure does. And, you know, we feel for that and very sympathetic. We try to see what we can do and see where it's taking place. You know, we're trying to be balancing it with everybody along the way because some of our employees, not everybody's in a situation where they're working in a sort of front-facing store kind of environment. Some positions, they might be able to work from home, but we don't have a lot of that part-time employee in that situation. So they're quite comfortable in being able to, you know, work from home if they have to.
Why don't your part-time employees get paid sick days?
You know what? I think we look at it, Matt. It's a business decision. What do we need to be doing? How do we cover it? Where's the cost associated?
What does that mean, a business decision?
Well, you have to think about it. You know, retail is a very, very competitive marketplace. And, you know, we rely on the customers and their habits of buying. And so we have to be very mindful of our expenses.
Meaning that if you were to give paid sick days to part-time employees, that would cost money that perhaps the company couldn't afford.
It could, right? So it takes away from investments in other areas to kind of either generate customer experiences or provide, you know, a better e-commerce web platform, something of that nature. The one thing that we do with part-timers is we do offer some in-lieu benefits. So sometimes, as an example, part-timers don't have vacation days, but we pay them a percentage. We do, if they want to, we try to open up our benefit plan, so healthcare kind of coverage, but that means it's a cost arrangement that they have to pay for.
If this continues, and mm-hmm. to your point, these are early days in all yes. of this. Nobody really knows where this is going to go, although there are all sorts of predictions on one side or the other. But if this were to continue and it were the coronavirus spread were to grow, is there a role that government could play to help out businesses like yours or businesses even smaller than Lee Valley to try and ensure that employees feel as though they can take the day off because that's in everyone's benefit?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting point because, you know, we don't see ourselves as small and we're certainly not large. And, you know, I think we really feel for the small employers as well because they're really struggling with something like this. I think the role of government is to look at it. Like today, you know, they're looking at it from an industry perspective. How are we going to support an industry that's impacted by these effects of the virus and, you know, manufacturing shutdowns? I think from the employee side of it, you know, where does the employment insurance benefits support that person? You know, could there be an adjustment to their policy and program that would allow that if somebody had to be off for, you know, a 14-day period, could they apply for benefit and get coverage? Under, I think, today's standards, they would not necessarily qualify.
But that's something that you think the government should consider?
They could. It's an option. I mean, again, like you said, Matt, you know, it's early days. We're not necessarily in that stage. But I think I am sure government officials are starting to look at those programs and what's feasible. And then again, how do they actually administer it? Because, you know, sometimes we say, hey, the program we can roll out, but how do you administer it so quickly? And that's not always an easy thing to do.
Walter, good to speak with you about this. Thank you.
Matt, my pleasure. Thank you.
Walter Prankey is the Vice President of Human Resources for Lee Valley Tools. Staying home when you're sick is about more than recovery. Also ensures that you don't spread your germs to your colleagues. Stefan Pickler is from the Technical University of Switzerland and has been researching paid sick days, specifically how those paid sick days affect the spread of viruses.
Those cities and states that introduce mandated sick leave for their workers experience a drop in these flu rates. What this suggests to us is that once workers are paid for staying at home, they are actually taking these sick leave days when they have the flu and therefore don't bring the virus to the office or even people that they are on the train with when they're commuting.
Here in Canada, the rules about sick days are mostly determined by provincial governments. And the decision to pay employees who are sick, that's up to the bosses of those employees. Sarah Molyneux is an employment lawyer with Molyneux Law. Sarah, good morning to you. Walk us through the rules in Canada, if you would, Sarah. What are Canadian workers entitled to when it comes to sick days?
Yeah, rules in Canada is kind of a big question. Like you mentioned, most employees in Canada are provincially regulated. What that means is that we have 14 different employment law jurisdictions in Canada. So each province, territory, and the small number of workers that are federally regulated are subject to different rules. Here in Ontario, where I practice, employees are entitled to 3 unpaid sick days per calendar year. That's a recent change and a reduction from a previous 10-day entitlement with 2 paid days. So in Ontario, we've seen a reduction. But we're in line with about what's average across the country. We see 5 to 3 days being pretty common province to province, with the best benefits being in the Yukon, where you can get up to 12 days per year. Or in Quebec, where you can be entitled to 2 paid days if you meet certain conditions.
Are there any jurisdictions where you are not entitled to any sick days at all?
There are. So Alberta, Manitoba, British Columbia, and Nunavut all offer nothing in the way of job protection for basic sick days.
I was just going to say, what does that mean for people who fall sick in those communities?
Well, it means you're hoping you have a reasonable employer or that you have an employment contract, workplace policies, or a collective agreement that provides you something other than the minimum standard, which many people do, although lots of low-wage workers do not. Mm.
These are all unpaid sick days. Is there any provision for paid sick days anywhere?
in a few provinces, there are. So in Quebec, you can get 2 paid days. In PEI, if you've worked somewhere for more than 5 years, 1 paid day. But the norm across the country is unpaid job protection only.
The economy has changed, certainly in the last couple of years, if not a little bit longer than that. And you now have what's known as the gig economy, people who are contractors, they might be Uber drivers, they might be food delivery people. What sort of recourse do they have if they fall ill?
Right. And so when we talk about these minimum employment standards, there are always exceptions and exemptions. The most common exception is that you do have to be an employee. And so people who are being characterized as independent contractors, rightly or wrongly, are going to be denied those benefits because their employers don't see them as employees and so don't see those minimum standards as applying. So our Uber drivers, our food delivery, bike couriers are going to be out on the streets working in order to earn a wage and to keep those positions for those apps, despite the fact that they may be exhibiting even serious symptoms.
What happens if you have sick days, but you're cautious about taking them? Do you know what I mean? That you might worry about the repercussions at work if you take more than a couple of days off. How does that play out?
And a lot of people are. It's a very common question that we encounter. People wondering, well, if I only have 3 days, what happens if I take a fourth? And the biggest risk really is that you're missing out on wages, and you're missing out on those even if you take the 3 days you're entitled to, yeah. Right? A bigger risk is that you may lose your job. There are protections for employees in certain circumstances. So if your sick day is disability related or related to a child care obligation, you may have additional rights under human rights legislation. But if you're talking about the flu, a bad cold, you are limited to the Employment Standards Act minimums. And while it's rare for an employee to be dismissed over one additional day, it does happen, and they wouldn't have recourse to their respective Ministry of Labor.
What if somebody has to go into self-quarantine or be in isolation because they may have been exposed to something like the coronavirus? What happens then?
So right now, our Employment Standards Act legislation or equivalent legislation province to province doesn't seem to anticipate that. We do have some provisions for declared emergencies, but when you are in the state that we are now, before we would ever anticipate an emergency being declared, we don't have any measures for job protection. People are relying on the generosity of their employers, which puts people in a very precarious situation.
Well,
not everybody has a good boss.
To that point, have a listen to Howard Levitt. He's an employment and labor lawyer, and here's his take on businesses giving more sick days, perhaps because of a coronavirus outbreak.
The problem is that employees are often not honest. They'll claim to be sick for mental health days, for any matter of real or imagined illnesses or feeling less than perfect, and the employer is paying a massive burden that people take advantage of. And it's probably the biggest single source of abuse in human resources law.
Sarah, what do you make of that? First, his comment that employees perhaps aren't always honest, but also that this puts the employers at a disadvantage.
Well, with all due respect to Howard, I disagree. Certainly, I mean, some people are dishonest some of the time, but your average person is going to get sick during a calendar year. They're going to need some days off of work. And if you don't facilitate that as an employer, you're incurring broader costs. So you have people coming to work sick, spreading their germs around the workplace, on their commute, not being as productive while they are at work, and potentially needing longer-term absences because their illness becomes more serious. That flu that becomes bronchitis, for example, when an employee could have rested, stayed home, and avoided that consequence. So I think it's a short-term lens for employers to assume that people taking a fourth day sick from work in a calendar year is a misrepresentation, when the reality is we have hardworking folks earning low wages that are struggling to go to work with serious symptoms and making themselves, their colleagues, and their neighborhoods more sick.
So in the remaining seconds that we have, what do you think employers should be doing right now? Are there things maybe we could learn from other jurisdictions when it comes to how this is spreading and how employees can be protected?
Well, I urge employers to take a reasonable approach and to look at what the public health and medical advice is saying and how that contradicts with basic employment standards. But I think we're making a mistake if we always act reactively to these issues and always rely on the generosity of employers to grant reasonable exceptions to the rule to employees. What we need is acceptable, reasonable minimum employment standards, because cold and flu season comes around every year, even if coronavirus does not.
And those employees need to be protected, you believe, year after year.
Exactly.
Sarah, good to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah Mullineaux is an employment lawyer with Mullineaux Law in Hamilton, Ontario.